Chapter 18.
I breathed a deep sigh of relief and leaned against the tunnel wall as my breathing slowly grew normal once more. But I was so out of it, I didn't even notice Una and the others approach. The curious feline's eyes bulged as she took in the remains of the ace, and she placed a gentle hand against my arm.
"Thank you, Alex,"
she murmured in a reverent tone.
"You are truly incredible."
The freed prisoners all eyed me with obvious awe, except for the potion maker, who stared absently at the ceiling. "Let's get out of here," I sighed as I wrapped my sword-free arm around Una's shoulders. A short while later, we popped out of the ground through the hole, and I scanned the empty landscape before I allowed the others to emerge. I ushered them in the direction of the King's Road, and then I rushed across the distance to the meeting point. The sounds of battle greeted my ears before the conflict graced my vision, but I could easily spot May as she flourished her weapon with a triumphant air. She was surrounded by clover cards, but the others were faring just as well. The bear women worked together to rip apart two of the clovers, and the bird women were dropping rocks from the air. I whistled loud and crisp, and I saw May's head swivel in my direction.
"Retreat!"
the dodo woman cried out in a loud voice, and I sighed in relief.
"Dreamer!"
A voice suddenly screeched above the din of the fight, and my gaze swept across the battlefield to the ramparts of the castle, where a woman in a black dress stood.
"I'll get you for this!"
The Queen of Clovers wore the only color visible around her shoulders, in the form of a bright yellow robe fluttering in the breeze. A radiant jeweled crown sat upon her head, and the light reflected on it like a prism. Then she raised a wooden staff topped with a bright yellow gemstone until it also caught the sun's rays. I took a deep breath as I marched forward with my chin lifted. I wasn't about to cower before the Queen of Clovers.
"Yes, I am the Dreamer. I have come to end the reign of the Dark King, and I will destroy any who ally themselves with him. Pick your side now, Queen of Clovers. For the next time you see me, it will be your life on the line."
A part of me wanted to rush up to the ramparts and cut her head off right now, but I knew that wasn't a smart plan. Our mission had been to free the Clover's captives and secure the potion maker, and we'd done that. We'd succeeded mostly due to stealth and the element of surprise, but we weren't ready for a full-on battle. Yet. But that would soon change. I'd make sure of it. The Queen of Clovers stood glaring down at me from the top of the wall of her fancy castle, but she didn't seem to have anything else to say. I had meant every word. I was the Dreamer the prophecy had foretold, and I was going to kick the Dark King's ass. A huge glowing ball suddenly rocketed from the top of the wall, and it smashed into the battlefield to burst into a massive explosion of flames, which scattered clover cards everywhere. The sheer force of the impact caused a wind gust to nearly knock me off my feet, but I held my footing firm as my eyes leapt to the Queen of Clovers. By the Queen's side were two smoking cannons, and my eyes widened as I watched several clover cards reload them.
"Shit! They've got cannons! Run!"
I should have known the Queen of Clovers wouldn't have just let us get away without retaliation, but I hadn't expected her to be packing such potent firepower. May and the others rushed across the battlefield toward me, and I hurried to guard their retreat. I parried the blows from a couple of clover cards while May ushered the animal people to safety, and then we stood side by side and eliminated any who chose to come after us. The two of us danced with our blades, and the metallic song of sword hitting sword filled the crisp, tasteless air. Adrenaline coursed through my veins, and I was grinning from ear to ear, despite being locked in conflict with some animated bags of ink. Two more enemies fell to my blade, but the muscles in my shoulders began to ache from the constant parrying, and I eyed the ceaseless line of clover cards with growing trepidation. There was no way we could outrun them on foot, with the prisoners having to move at a slower pace, and without the Frisians, we were stuck. I racked my mind for ideas while I fought off blow after blow from the clover cards. But then I heard the nicker of one of the horse-like creatures from behind me, and I swiveled to see the rest of my companions mounted.
"They crossed the King's Road!
I shouted to May.
Let's get the fuck out of here!
We can do this, Dreamer!
May cackled with battle lust as she swung her sword like a battle axe into the skull of a clover card. A fountain of black, inky blood sprayed from the wound like a geyser and drenched the dodo woman from beak to tail, and the other clover cards seemed a little hesitant to rush forward after that, which gave me an opening to grab May by the arm and pull her away from the battle.
Come on, the others need us. We can't win this war today, but we've already won the fight.
You and I can destroy the clovers once and for all.
May chortled with delight before she turned to lunge at a brave card guy who'd crept up on us while we talked. The ground was littered with the armored corpses of the inkbag bastards, but I held no sympathy in my heart for their losses. It wasn't like they were people, after all, but they'd given me more fighting experience than I ever could have gotten from a video game on Earth, so for that, I was grateful. May and I killed a couple of clover cards as we backed toward the steeds, but then we managed to climb up behind our friends. The Frisians took off at a gallop, and we all had to cling to their manes to stay on, but it was good to put some distance between us and the fortress.
Huh, what changed?
I said to Zeedee, who still rode upon my shoulder, as we rode to the south at breakneck speed.
Why did they decide to cross the King's Road?
You inspired them! They wanted to be brave for the Dreamer. Also, I heard one mention some nightmares returning to the castle passing by them, and I think they all got pretty spooked.
Oh shit, there were nightmares nearby? I scanned the bleak landscape closely, but I didn't see any hooded figures in the monochrome scene, so I released the breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. Something itched in the back of my mind, but no coherent thought formed, so I dismissed the feeling with a shake of my head. Our Frisian friends dashed across the King's Road, and they were moving so fast their hooves barely touched the paving stones. But after a quick glance behind us, I determined we were no longer being followed. Still, better safe than sorry. So once we were a good distance away from the black and white landscape, I signaled for a halt.
We need to mask our tracks, I said,
and my eyes swept over my ragtag group. Livia and Una rode on one Frisian together, while the white rabbit woman rode with the twins and the tiny man, but the freed prisoners seemed to be in good spirits, despite shivering in their rags. May sat behind a bear woman, and of course, Lena and Zeedee were still with me. The rest of the animal people shared the remainder of the steeds, but many had to double or triple up. Fortunately, the heaviest among them were the bear women, and they each rode a mount of their own.
A golden idea! But how?
Once we hit the trees, we'll cut down a branch with a fair number of leaves on it, I explained, as I remembered doing something similar in a video game.
It won't be perfect, but it'll confuse them, and then we can double back before we approach the caves.
They'll look for us in Havenwood,
Una mused as she tapped a finger against her chin.
Maybe if we head in that direction for a while, it'll throw off the scent a little longer.
Good idea,
I nodded. Which way was Havenwood?
Directly west of here,
Una explained as she pointed to the horizon.
I kept the sun at my back when I left, but I did get a little off course.
Yeah, you were down by the happy fields to the south, but I'm glad you were or we would have never met.
Can you imagine how awful that would be?
Una shook her head to dispel the thought.
Oh, lovebirds!
May said in a sing-song voice.
Let us move swiftly away!
Right, toward Havenwood then.
The Frisian beneath my legs tossed its head and nickered in response, and then our small group was on the move again. I was proud of everything we'd accomplished so far, and the fact that I was returning with even more people than I left with told of how successful we were. Not a single life had been lost to the distraction. We rode through the night and into the morning, but the sun stayed upon our backs for a while. When the tops of the fungi in the Mushroom Valley were visible to my right, I veered a little more to the left to aim for Havenwood. It was midday when we approached the giant sequoia, and I considered giving the freed prisoners a break from riding in the ghost town we'd deserted. I didn't want to confuse them all when it was time to leave again, though, and with the potion maker being in an inebriated state, that was easy enough to do already. We paused to glance up at the 300-foot-tall tree with bittersweet expressions, but then we continued on to the waterfall.
Wait, where are we going?
Livia asked in her confused manner.
Why aren't we stopping?
Havenwood isn't hidden anymore,
Una explained in a comforting voice as she rubbed the ancient woman's arms.
We made a new town, and it's called New Haven. You'll love it. Don't worry, we'll be there soon.
Since we were taking a longer route than we had when we'd departed, it took us more than a day to reach New Haven. Plus, we had to go slower to sweep the path behind us clear of tracks. I stayed on guard all night while we camped, but the thought of losing the people I'd just rescued wouldn't allow me to sleep. Una joined me shortly before dawn, and the beautiful cat girl twirled her fingers between mine as we sat to watch the sunrise. How's everyone doing? I asked with a worried frown. Does Livia remember you yet?
No.
Una shook her head sadly.
It may be a while before she is back to her old self.
It'll be okay. We'll get everyone back to New Haven, and Dr. Kriya will look after them.
Thank you, Alex, for saving my friends.
Una murmured in a husky voice.
You're amazing. Just like I always envisioned the dreamer to be.
Una, I would do anything for you, I insisted as I squeezed her fingers warmly. But then I leaned forward to place a soft kiss upon her delicious lips. You're my cat girl after all.
And you're my dreamer,
Una replied as her eyes filled with adoration. We reached New Haven the next day, and a crowd of animal people rushed out of the mouth of the cavern to greet us. Livia and the other freed prisoners were hoisted up into the air and carried inside, while joyful chants filled the air.
They did it! They did it! They saved everyone! Oh, hooray! Livia has returned!
What about us?
Dee whined.
Didn't you miss my sister and I? Yeah, we were captives too, you know.
Daw added.
I am starving. When's dinner? Wait, what's for dinner?
It's good to have you two back,
Miss Maggie said in her usual cross-armed position.
No matter how annoying you can be, you'll always be a part of our family.
I took a moment to get a closer look at the people I'd just saved now that we were finally safe, and they all seemed to be well enough to not need emergency medical attention. The twins looked practically human and identical to each other, so it was hard to tell them apart, but they appeared to be around their late teens or early 20s. Long, straight blonde hair hung down to their asses, which were perky and curved in all the right places, and their eyes were as green as emerald gemstones. They wore stained gray tunics that hung to their knees, and I had a feeling they would be among the first to demand clean clothes. The white rabbit woman cast fearful and anxious glances around at everything, and I could tell she still didn't feel completely safe, but she wasn't shaking the way she'd been in the Clover Fortress, so I saw that as an improvement. She had curly white hair around her head, and the biggest, bluest eyes I'd ever seen. Her nose was pink, and two large teeth poked over the edge of her lips. She was shorter than the others, shorter even than Una, but she looked perfectly proportional to me still. The tiny man wore a loincloth and nothing else, but he looked to be an older man, maybe mid-50s, if the bulging gut was any indication. He had no hair and gray eyebrows, but it was hard to make out any more details than that from this distance and his small stature. Livia was one of the oldest-looking people I'd ever met, and her wrinkled face hid beneath long silver locks. Her eyes were a pale green, and I wondered if she was related to the twins at all. I chuckled in amusement as the animal people carried away the white rabbit woman, the twins, the tiny man, and the potion maker. Then I slung my arm across Una's shoulders and followed them inside the cavernous entrance to New Haven. It was going to be a lot of fun getting to know them all better. A short while later, the freed friends had been carted away to the temporary medical center, and the rest of my companions and I were relaxing around the fire.
Now we can make the Heal Others potion,
Una announced after she finished telling the epic tale of our prison break adventure.
Well, as soon as Livia is feeling more herself again. I don't think I would trust her to make a single brew right now.
The clover cards will come for her. Potion makers are rarer than the potions themselves these days, and we've taken both from them recently. The Clover Queen won't forget it.
Oh, I hope she doesn't, I grinned. I hope she comes after me on my turf. We could take her and her bastard cards, too. I was filled with the bravado only a victory could ensure, but I meant every word. I'd sworn to defeat the Dark King and free all the land from his tyranny, and that was exactly what I planned to do. I'd already proven what I was capable of, and now I just needed to eliminate the shadow of evil that hovered over this magical fantasy world. Then I could spend my days enjoying the hot babes I was somehow surrounded by. My life was like a wild fantasy dream come true, and I was never crawling out of this rabbit hole again.
"Come on, Alex,"
Una said in a suggestive tone, with a seductive smile stretched across her lips.
"Let's go home."
"Let's," I smirked, and I let the cat girl tug me toward our treehouse for a night of well-deserved revelry. Una led me with eager steps to our new treehouse, and the two of us hurried up into the branches with wide grins. I stared up at her ass as she progressed up the ladder, and she was barely inside the structure when I grabbed her from behind and trailed kisses along her neck. Una moaned as she tilted her head to give me full access to her skin.
"That feels good."
"I hadn't even gotten started yet," I murmured in a husky voice full of desire, and my cock was already pushing against the restraint of my pants.
"Just the thought of you makes me tingle deep inside,"
Una informed me, as she smoothly slid around to wrap her arms around my neck. The beautiful cat girl's lips parted ever so slightly as she gazed into my eyes, but I could not resist the pull to kiss her, and a moment later we were locked in a passionate embrace. I slowly backed her toward the bed, and she tumbled onto the mattress when the back of her calves hit the edge. I watched her breasts bounce from the motion, and then I gestured to her garments. "Take all that bullshit off. I don't want anything standing between me and your body."
"Yes, dreamer,"
Una giggled as she hastily undid the fasteners for her minimal armor and clothes. "You got it." I dropped the baggy pants to display my fully erect member. My head throbbed toward Una, as though leading me toward my heart's desires. But I needed no prompting to join the now naked cat girl on my bed. Our lips met again, and our tongues danced a tango as the kiss deepened and lulled. The taste of salt was strong, but it was uniquely Una, so I devoured her with fervor. Then I slid my fingers south, and I caressed the smooth muscles of her abdomen as I sought the treasure between her legs. Una spread herself open for me as soon as she realized my intentions, and my fingers slid against her already dripping entrance as a groan escaped my lips. "Oh, fuck, you're already so wet," I chuckled into her neck, and then I kissed the hollow of her throat while I thrust my fingers deep inside her tunnel.
"Ah!"
Una gasped and arched her back to meet the motion of my fingers, and she ground her mound into the palm of my hand. "You like that?" I murmured as I bent down and flicked my tongue across her pert nipples, and the buds instantly hardened beneath my mouth. "Who's your savior?"
"You are..."
Una's breaths were coming in ragged gasps as I worked my fingers inside her entrance, but she inhaled sharply when my pussy-slick digits discovered her node of pleasure. I flicked it with my pointer finger until Una's legs started to twitch as she climaxed, but I also wanted to feel her orgasm around my shaft, so I quickly repositioned myself between her legs. Una seemed to sense my intentions yet again, and she wrapped her legs around my lower back to draw me inside her. Her violet orbs were full of trust and adoration as she peered up at me, and we both hissed with pleasure as I slid my cock inside her tight little pussy. "Oh, you feel amazing," I growled as I slowly slid out, and I claimed her mouth as I slammed my entire length inside her once more. Una moaned into my mouth, and I swallowed the sound with ravenous hunger.
Oh, Alex,
Una gasped when I finally let her come up for air.
I'm yours, and only yours.
Forever, I clarified as the intensity in my balls began to grow. But then Una's pussy spasmed around my shaft, and I almost lost control.
Yes, yes, yes,
Una chanted as her head whipped from side to side, and her body convulsed beneath my weight.
Forever!
I stared deep into her eyes as we both climaxed simultaneously, and I shuddered with pleasure as I sprayed her womb with my magic seed. I pumped a few more times as I emptied my balls inside her tight pussy, and her tunnel walls continued to spasm with each movement I made. Una's eyes were unfocused as she stared at the ceiling, and I laid my head on her chest while she stroked my hair absently.
Soon, you will heal us all with your seed,
the cat girl murmured into the dark shadows of our treehouse.
And all the land will rejoice at your name.
I fell asleep with her words echoing in my ears. I was the dreamer, and I would save all the land. The words felt righter than they ever had before, and I let out a contented sigh as I closed my eyes.
End of book 1.